Well, it is unbelievable to have back on air with us a recent retiree, Mr. Peter Watson. How are you, mate?
G'day, Graham. I'm pretty good, and I've got to say it's fun to be back on air. You know, I've been away for a while and had no voice for a while, but now I've got a voice and I'm back on air, and it's good to be there.
You found your voice. That is just terrific, mate. I'm so pleased to hear that. Now, you've been to the Kimberley, which is the reason you got in touch with me all excited, and I can understand perfectly why one would be excited about the Kimberley. I went there for the first time, as you would recall, last year, and you've obviously had a great time. Tell us about it.
I did indeed. Look, this was part of my wife's bucket list and something that I wasn't sure about, but I've got to tell you, Graham, I'm so glad that I did it, that it's not funny. I mean, we started in Darwin. We flew to Darwin and had 4 days in the top end, and I've got to say, Darwin's a fabulous city. I mean, really, as capital of the top end of Australia, it's terrific. It's got some great things to do. I mean, the highlight from what my point of view was what you'd call the float plane experience, which involved flying out to a lagoon, spotting crocodiles, going on fast boats, getting helicopter rides and all sorts of things. That was the highlight. Margie did that, I didn't. I just wasn't quite strong enough to do that. Mm. But the whole of Darwin was a terrific experience. We spent 4 days there. We stayed at the Hilton and was really good. So if you've got listeners who are interested in Darwin, A, the Hilton's a great place to stay. B, have a look at the float plane experience because it's really good.
Now, did you go to the night markets, Pete?
Margie went to the night markets. I didn't get a chance. I'm an old man now, GK. I go to bed quite early.
You missed a great experience. I mean, it's sunset, I think, it comes alive.
It does.
And what did she say about it?
She loved it. No, look, every element of Darwin she really enjoyed, but her favourite was far and away the float plane experience. But Darwin was just a jumping off point because we got on a cruise ship in Darwin.
Okay.
And then we cruised along the Kimberley coast. I mean, we first had to take a quick detour to East Timor. We have to do that because foreign ships can't sail between two Australian ports. They have to have an international port in them. So we flipped up to East Timor.
To Dili?
Took a day to get up there, spent half a day on East Timor, took a day to get back, and then went to Wyndham. And Wyndham was the jumping-off place for flights over the Bungle Bungle Ranges, which were just spectacular. Bungle Bungle Ranges in the Oil River Scheme. And if you wanted to, you could also take a coach ride and a 9-hour cruise along the Ord River up to the Ord River Dam. Now, didn't do that one. The float plane, the overflight of the Bungle Bungles was something that we got into, and that was terrific. So that was Wyndham, and that was a very quick experience and quick entry into the Kimberleys. But it led us to what became, in my view, the highlight of the Kimberleys, because a couple of days later we were at a place called King George River. Have you ever been there?
I have, Pete. The Dual Waterfalls.
It is, you know, I've had some experiences in my life, as you know, and I've been extraordinarily lucky to see lots of things. But I saw the King George River on what was effectively a private tour because of the way things turned out. A guy called Mark Watson in a Zodiac drove Margaret and I for 2.25 hours up the King George River, showed us the wildlife, showed us those magnificent falls, showed us the rocks and scenery, and gave me an experience that I've got to tell you, rates with my first view of something like Petra, when you ride through that crack in the wall made famous in Indiana Jones and the Treasury Building comes up before you, or something like the Pyramids or the Valley of the Kings. I mean, in my view, King George River and the King George Falls rate an equivalent to those sites.
Wow.
And the beauty of it is, of course, they're in our own back door. They're in our backyard. You know, they're not... They're really 4 hours away. They're just sort of amazing.
Yeah, that's a big call, Pete, but I absolutely agree with you. Tell me, were the falls in sort of full flight?
We were extraordinarily lucky because a couple of days before there'd been quite a lot of rain, and the falls were absolutely thundering down.
Wow, that's fantastic. Because when we were there, it was after the wet. And so there were two falls, but they weren't Niagara's, mate.
Well, mate, these were brilliant. These were brilliant.
And you talked about wildlife. You just skipped past that. You're actually talking about big crocs, aren't you?
Big crocs. I've got some good pictures of big crocs. We saw one as we went up the river, up the King George River. We saw three or four more on a day where we did a cruise along what's called Crocodile Creek. So you'd imagine you see crocodiles. We saw them on the bank. We saw them in the water. We saw them on the water's edge.
Was this in the Zodiac?
This was in the Zodiac,
You know, the Zodiacs are only made of air and rubber, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pretty safe, mate. We weren't scared. We got pretty close to a couple of crocs, but we weren't, you know, it wasn't... like you felt any danger at all.
Right.
I mean, and the other thing that I thought I should have mentioned to our listening audience was Bradshaw Art. Now, have you seen any of this Bradshaw Art?
Yes, I've written a story about it, and I lay there underneath a rock. You tell us your version.
Well, I didn't lie under the rock. Margie lay under the rock. I wasn't fit enough to lie under the rock, but you and I think, probably went to the same place. Look, this is an amazing story, this Bradshaw Art. I wrote a story about it in my blog, which is Wandering Wombat Tales, called The Riddle of the Bradshaws. And I'm absolutely convinced this Bradshaw Art is a genuine link to the first peoples that ever came to Australia. And it is so, so different from any other sort of rock art that we've seen anywhere.
Yeah.
That it's quite amazing. And I saw a documentary on a fellow called Graham Walsh, who was an independent art researcher. He spent 25 years studying the Bradshaws. And he has an absolutely unique record of the work and the locations of the work and the visual record of the work that's absolutely second to nothing else that exists anywhere.
Yeah.
And sadly, because of a whole range of issues, not the least of which was the fact that he published a view that the Bradshaw art was so advanced that in fact it was beyond the capacity of the Aboriginal community as we knew it to produce, so it was produced by others. And he was accused of being a racist and all those sort of things like that.
Yeah.
And he took that so badly that he actually decreed that all his work had to be destroyed within 24 hours of his death.
Wow.
Now, he died in 1986, but thankfully, 2006, his son took a decision not to destroy his last work, and at the moment it sits in the National Archives while they make a decision about it. But look, Bradshaw Art, amazing.
I mean, the point of difference, Pete, with this art, just for listeners who don't know, is that they have very long headdresses that are unusual. They have tassels hanging off their arms. They're stick figure people, basically, aren't they?
They are stick figure people, and they have designs that are clearly that you see in Egyptian art, that you see in Asian art, that you see in Balinese art. And it sort of establishes this track that the first peoples came, could easily have come from Central Africa up through Egypt, across the Europe, down through Asia, down the land bridge, through Bali, across that land bridge at Timor when the oceans were all receded and the land was dry.
Yeah.
And those first people landed in Australia some 65,000 years before we even credit them for it. Because the fact of life is the Bradshaw art is the oldest art, the oldest rock art in existence anywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
And they can't date it, but it's true.
Yeah, and there's that other form of art up there called Wangina.
Wangina art, saw a bit of that.
Yeah, which is a big round face with a sort of a halo around it, two eyes and nose and no mouth.
Big round faces and gets refreshed quite frequently.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
It's less than 17,500 years old, and the Bradshaw art is more than 19,500 years old. They can't actually date the Bradshaw art, but they will be able to one day, but they can't at the moment. So,
and look, did you fly into the art, or did you go in the...
We cruised in Zodiacs. We cruised in and came in a Zodiac and climbed the hills and looked at the rocks and looked at all that.
It's
was
just
quite amazing.
It's just something Australians ought to do, isn't it, Peter? Because if it was anywhere else in the world, it'd have a red rope and a bloke with white gloves, and you wouldn't get anywhere near it.
You wouldn't get anywhere near it, mate. But it was a remarkable experience. So between that, between King George River and the falls, between rocking with the Crocs in Crocodile Creek, it was a pretty remarkable experience. And the whole of the Kimberleys is something that's just amazing. On the last day, we had a pod of dolphins visit the ship.
Wow.
And I've got this amazing photo of these 30 or 40 dolphins at play around the ship, which was just remarkable. And today, in a place called Yampi Sound, which is the last stop before Broome. So look, the whole experience was terrific. Some amazing stories. There's a story about a little ship that fought in World War II called the Kalami, which is worth looking at. I wrote a story about it because it impressed me so much, and that the history of this ship was just quite amazing. It stood up to the Japanese, and there's a story about it called Captain's Courageous Malice or Mutiny. There's a documentary written about it, and if your listeners get a chance to find that, they can find it on YouTube. Malleswell Mutiny, the story of the Kalaman and its part in World War II. Amazing story. One of those special things and special moments that you see.
Well, you sound like you had a whole bunch of special moments, Pete. Did you see the horizontal waterfall?
We didn't. It was the 2 days. There's 2 days in every 6 weeks that those horizontal falls run, but I and we were in that area on those 2 days. So we didn't get to the horizontal falls.
Fine.
So it's left something that we need to go back for, mate.
Yeah, and the people who guide you up there are really full bottle on it all, aren't they?
Absolutely full bottle. The cruise ship, and we sailed with Silver Sea Cruises, and you know I'm a fan of Silver Sea Cruises.
I do.
But the expedition team were amazing. They had experts on everything from biology to fish to the history of the area to the whole process of the whole region and understood it, were able to explain it, and were able to put their point of view and teach us in lectures and in backgrounding stuff, both before and after we visited the spots, as to what we were going to see and what we'd seen and what it all meant. So, remarkable experience.
Peter, it's lovely to hear you again, mate, and if you've got any other experiences like that you want to talk about, you know there's always an open microphone for you here at Travel Writers Radio.
Mate, I'll be glad to tell you a few more tales. I understand I'm going to talk to you in a little while about Bali and some amazing cooking experiences of Bali, so I look forward to that, but we'll follow that up next time.
Good on you, Pete. Thanks again.
Righto, mate. Cheers.
Bye.